This is Pastor Jim for the congregation of Rock Springs First Methodist Church. In the book of Matthew, we find the disciples in the middle of the Sea of Galilee on a stormy night. For many long, cold hours, the disciples fought the storm, desperately trying to hold back the water, knowing that they were in trouble. Then, in the early morning hours, Jesus came to them, actually walking on the water. They just didn't expect him to come to them that way, and neither do we. We expect him in the form of peaceful hymns on Easter Sundays in quiet retreats. We don't expect him in the middle of the storm, but that's where he does his best work, when we need him the most. When the storm comes, we need him, and he is always there. We are Rock Springs First Methodist Church, a traditional, Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community, worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage at 1515 Eger Street, just above the high school in Rock Springs.
The following worship service was broadcast and recorded live on Sunday, October 17th, 2021, with Reverend Jimmy Krishan at Rock Springs First Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming, a traditional, Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage.
Well, good morning. God bless you. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Oh God, we turn and face you in the midst of the storm. Help us to hear you speak to us in our heart of hearts as that still small voice which gives us direction and peace and hope. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let us pray. Our gracious and loving God, let us humble ourselves before you. Let us find ourselves in your presence in fear and trembling, yet not in a fear that would turn us away, but in a fear that offers to you respect and honor. For you are our God who is omni-all, around us, in us, through us, and at work in the world around us. And Father, we humble ourselves. We would seek your will and your way, your purpose and your direction. But Father, forgive us in our rebellion. Forgive us in our oftentimes self-serving frames of mind. Father, forgive us for not seeking first your kingdom. Forgive us for our pride getting the best of us at times, causing us to not see, to not be as committed. Father, just help us, lead us, and guide us in forgiving us, that we would draw closer to you, realizing that we need you more and more every single day. And Father, we'd pray for the world around us to know you in Christ, that they would know their sins forgiven, their relationship with you restored, the peace that you give, the hope and the healing that you offer. And Father, that we would know you to be a God who loves us so much, that you know our innermost being, that which would make us content, that which would give us peace, that which would lead us to a feeling of fulfillment in you. Not in a way that we may have ever dreamed, or to do things we never thought possible, except through you. For you are our God, and you want to open the windows of heaven to bless us. But in order for us to receive, we have to come to you. We have to humble ourselves and give ourselves to you totally. Father, for the many needs within our hearts and lives, we just pray for one another. We pray for those needs that have been spoken, but we pray for those, Father, that are deep into the recesses of our hearts and lives, into those places where we dare not let anyone look for fear of how they would then see us. Father, we pray that you would heal the brokenness in our lives, that you would bind up our wounds, help us to forgive others, and to give us strength to even forgive ourselves. And that, Father, in our loneliness, that you would comfort us, in our grief, that you would sustain us. In whatever we face, would we turn to you and hold on tight. And Father, we would pray that others would know you in a personal way, that they would know you, that they would come to you, that they would trust you, and that they would rely on you and not on their own understanding. Father, as we pray for the needs within our family here, we extend those prayers outside these walls to the lives of those who could not be with us and cannot be with us for many different reasons. Fear of things, unknown, unsure, uncertain, going through a time of transition of life. And Father, we pray for our community and other churches here with us. Father, we lift them up for you. We lift up those who we would call leaders among us, that they would be servants above all else, seeking your will and your way. As we pray for our nation and nations around the world, we pray for revival, a turning of hearts and lives to you through Christ Jesus. Father, we would pray that you would prepare our hearts for your return, for you have promised it to be. We would pray that there would be peace, that there would be harmony instead of division, that there would be hope instead of dread, that there would be assurances from you that are real, sustainable, and dependable. We pray for our people, our law enforcement, our military. We pray for those in medical services, wherever that may be, for first responders, for firemen. Father, we just pray for those who come when the calls come in. Father, we just pray that you would strengthen them in their service and give them your peace and vision to love even their neighbors, to love one another. Father, we pray for those who are in nursing homes, hospitals, and shut-ins in their own homes. We pray for those who administer care to them, who touch their lives in ways we cannot imagine, who have chosen to give of their days, their years, their lives, in helping someone who can't help themselves. And Father, we pray that around the world, Christ would be proclaimed, that Christ would be accepted, and that lives would be redeemed. And now we pray that you hear us, as in heart, mind, and soul. With voice, we come together to pray as you taught your disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
Our scripture for today is taken from the book of Mark, chapter 10, verses 35 through 45. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to him and said to him, Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. And he said to them, "What is it you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They replied, "We are able." Then Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the 10 heard this, they began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called them and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. The sons of thunder, the sons of Zebedee, and the relatives, sort of cousins of Jesus. And something's going on here, isn't there? It's pretty evident that they are, kind of get a foot up, maybe get a leg up, maybe get a body up. Maybe they're trying to get ahead here. They want these seats. They see Jesus as the coming king who will restore the nation of Israel. They see him as going to be the new David. The 12 tribes reestablished, the promised land brought back. They see him as the Savior, the way they want him to be. So now James and John, these two brothers, they decide that we really need to talk to him. So they kind of go over and they say, "Jesus, we're following you around here. We're doing a lot of stuff, and we're coming and going, and all this stuff's going on. We want you to do something for us." Now, in the English translation, it kind of sounds really, really bossy. "We want you to do what we tell you to do." That's not the Greek tenor here. The Greek tenor is, "Will you do us this favor? Will you grant to us this courtesy?" And Jesus says, "What is it you want me to do for you?" And they say, "We want the positions to your right and left. We want the big seats. We want to be second only to you." And Jesus says, "Okay, boys, might have things a little off here. But number one, do you think you're able to drink from the cup and to be baptized? In other words, are you willing to suffer and die for those positions?" "You bet." But see, they didn't know that's what it meant yet. So don't be too hard on them. "Yes, we can do it," they say. "Well," he says, "in that case, you need to know it's not mine to give away. I'm not down here doing this for me. I'm down here doing this for the big guy, God, Daddy. I come down here and I'm serving him. I am doing his will. So those aren't my seats to give away. They're his. And he's already got figured out who they're going to belong to, if they exist at all. So there you go. Well, his other disciples, the other 10, they got upset. Did you see that? They didn't get upset because they asked. They got upset because they asked first. The best they could do was third place now. If they were successful at getting 1 and 2, that left 3 and down. And I bet Peter was the most upset. Because Peter, being the older disciple, kind of taking everybody under his wing, and would later become really the leader of the disciples, thought he deserved the better seat. Now they're all upset. They're upset at James and John. And I want you to look at some things that Jesus does. Jesus kind of turns things on its head here. He goes against the world's paradigms. He goes against the world's way of seeing things. He really turns it upside down on these disciples in a very powerful teaching that I don't want us to miss. Now, hold that spot. You need to remember that the oppressor in this day is Rome. You need to understand that the Roman Empire is the power of the day. They are the most powerful governance at that point the world has ever known. As a matter of fact, in the day of Jesus, and for a few years after, there was something going on that we call the Pax Romanus. Do you know what that means? The Roman peace. Rome had established peace and trade routes and trade among many nations. Certainly they were profiting from it. But that was what allowed the gospel to go out, was the Pax Romanus, that Roman peace, peace under fear, if you will, peace under power, if you will. Sounds like a Ronald Reagan speech a little bit, doesn't it? Peace under power. But Jesus is going to challenge some things because the Roman Empire, how many of you realize that the Roman Empire had started out as a republic? This is yes, and this is no. How many of you have even studied Roman history? Been a while? It was a republic. It started out with representatives, people who come from the different parts of the Roman Empire and represented those different parts and the interest of those parts. But somewhere along the way, it got a little funky, and it turned it a lot less than that, and the Senate and the representatives became pawns of who would become the Caesar, God. And by the time of Jesus, it was heavy-handed and mean and punitive. Excessive taxing and all of this stuff is going on by the day of Jesus. It would only be a couple hundred, 250 years until we'd see the breakup and the separation of this great empire. It would be divided among great generals into 4 different pieces. But at the time of Jesus, they were the oppressors. They were the heavy-handed ones. We need to understand there's a thing that happens in the world and in humanity that those on the bottom don't always stay there. They often find themselves on top. And the problem is, once the oppressed leave the position of the oppressed and become the leaders, take over the power, it's very hard not to want revenge. For then the oppressed who have been set free become the oppressors. And the paradigm in the struggle continues. Jesus intends to tear that down. A new way. A new way. Notice what he does. Let's don't miss it. I'm coming back to some stuff. Slide your feet up under the pew because I may get on some toes in just a few minutes. Warning, Will Robinson. Verse 41, and when the 10 heard this, they began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called them and said to them, you know that among the Gentiles, those who you recognize as your rulers, lord it over them, rulers, they're leaders. They kind of sort of put you in your place, you know. There isn't any respect there. You follow what I say. You do what I say, not what I do. There becomes that elitist mentality that happens. It's going on here. And then he says, and you know, Gentiles, though they recognize as the rulers, they lord it over, and their great ones are tyrants over them. Tyrants. Tyrants, and taking advantage, ultimately oppressing, controlling everything. They become tyrants. They may not have a position, but that doesn't mean they don't have power. They may not have an appointment, and more than likely aren't elected, but they have power, great power. But it is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you must be a servant. Soak on that a minute. Think about it. And whoever wishes to be first among you must be servant, rather than slave, should be servant here, of all. We live in the United States of America for the moment. Do you think it can't fall? That's what the Romans thought. Let me explain to you. God raises up nations and God collapses them. Immorality and sin, he didn't spare Sodom and Gomorrah. He kicked Adam and Eve out of the garden. And he put Noah and his family in an ark and destroyed the rest. Need we think God's not paying attention? Do we think he's gone to sleep at the wheel, taking a millennial or two vacation? Oh, no. The scorecard's being kept. The opportunities are being given. We live in the United States of America. What kind of country have we got? I didn't say what conditions it in. What kind of country do we live in? What does our a democracy? What's that, Tom? So it's got elements of both? Okay. Somebody else? Come on, you can talk. Pardon me? A republic, if we can keep it. Sounds like some of the founding fathers said that. It'll do well if you can keep it. So we actually have a little bit of democracy, but mainly a republic. How many of you realize that this is a republic? What does our Constitution say? We are a nation of the people, for the people, by the people. What kind of folks do we have up in Washington? Not, don't give me their character traits right now. I just want you to, what have we got going on up there? We got a president, right? Okay, got that. I'm not asking you to qualify his job or how he's doing. I'm just asking what positions we have open. Well, not open. But anyway, so we got a president. He's kind of the head dog, right? Not really. Not really. In a republic, not really. Here's the deal. Then what's next? Congress, okay? What's Congress's job? Huh? Okay. Well, that's sort of right. I see you've not really been in a good constitutional class. Okay, not well, sort of. We'll be back. So you hold on to that. What's the next bunch up there? Supreme, no, just a different whole batch over there. That's the judicial crowd. That's a separate little world over there. But what's the next group up in Washington, up at the big house? Should call it the Looney Tunes house or something right now. But what are they? What do we call them? House of what? Representatives of whom? We the people. When you elect a representative, our country is founded on Christian principles. It was dedicated to God, and our governmental representation is supposed to be loosely based on what you are seeing in this very text. When you elect someone to the House of Representatives, they don't go to vote their conscience, though their conscience should align with the people they represent. They go to vote the will of the people. They are a servant. Folks, you need to understand that there is no one in Washington, D.C. that is a leader of this nation. They are a servant of the people. For it's for the people, of the people, by the people. It is not that they are our lords over us unless we let them be that. We have done that. I told you it's going to get a little political. We have forgotten that this country is based on Christian principles. And we've let it be undone. We've let God be taken out of it. Somebody say, well, you don't mix politics and religion. Let me ask you a question. If Christians aren't in our public offices, what does that leave? So now what are we going to get? We're going to get the mess we've got today. And I'm just going to tell you, immorality abounds in the public sphere today. Can you get my words out? Immorality. We've got boys going in girls' bathrooms. For heaven's sakes, what sense does that make? Just recently, a girl was assaulted by a man in a bathroom at a junior high school student, and her dad was arrested. Because he brought up the issue at a school board meeting. Are you reading this stuff in the newspaper? You got your head in a little bucket of sand somewhere in the corner? Pay attention. Folks, we live in a time and in a country that needs redemption, revival, and repentance. We live in a time when wrong is right and right is wrong, when truth won't stand and a lie is celebrated, when wrong is punished and good is put down. We live in a time when you can't have an opinion about anything that differs from an agenda of those who want to lord it over you. Thus, it should not be. What do we ask of Jesus? We shouldn't ask anything except, what do you want me to do? We should tell him we want a seat on the right and left. That's presumptuous. That is prideful. That is arrogant. How many of you that believe that God is omni-all? Anybody here besides me? How many of you think that God has the power to redeem humanity if it'll submit to it? How many of us believe, then why don't we let him loose on them? Because we haven't let him loose in here. We serve him when it's convenient. We serve him how we want it. We serve him out of what we want. We are James and John. We want to sit at the right. We want to tell Jesus what to do. We want Jesus to bless our mess rather than saying, oh, God, help me. Save me. I'm a sinner. So I put these hymns in there. Mold me and make me. After thine own will. We are not, as Christians, seeking first the will of God. We check in with him from time to time. Pastor, how do you know that? How many's here this morning versus the rolls on the books? What does it cost you to get here? What do you have to trade off? Is there a war between being in Christian fellowship? It's like attending a Bible study or a Sunday school class. There's no. How many of you had a problem with not getting here at 9:30 for Sunday school? I'm waiting. What's the problem? We should have a parsonage full of people for an Elijah Bible study instead of 5 or 6, 7 or 8. What's happening? What's more important? Well, Pastor, I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. Really? You read your book? You know this book the Christians want to read all the time? Go over and look at Hebrews chapter 11. You know what Paul says? Do you? I'm waiting. What does Paul say about going to church? My. Maybe you need to spend a little more time in here. Hebrews chapter 11. Now you can go home and read it. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves, as is the habit of those non-believers. You see, being part of a church family is what it means to be Christian. Jesus didn't call one disciple and send him out to an empty hole. He called 12. One denied him, and he brought them together. He said, you, oh, wait a minute. Jesus said something. What was it? Well, he said a lot of things, but he said, when you're on the mountain by yourself, I'm with you, right? No, when you're out fishing, and you're sitting there, and you just got a nice bite, and waiting for one more tug, you're all by yourself. He's there, right? What'd you say, two or three? You mean more than one? So all I got to do is take Greg fishing with me, and we got it. Right. But there was something else he said. Where two or three are gathered in my name. When we are gathered for the purpose of praising the resurrected Christ and honoring God, Christ says, I will be with you. Folks, there's a lot of people who think they're saved that are going to hear Jesus say, depart from me. I know you not. I pray that we know that Christ is alive in us. God can fix it, but we've got to humble ourselves and trust in Him. We've got to humble ourselves and seek first the kingdom of God. Folks, we can't play. That's what got us in the mess we're in. That's what got dishonest people elected. That's what got dishonest people making laws. I give you a little glimpse into it. But Jesus said, if you want to be great, then you have to put others first. You have to seek first the kingdom of God. What do you think God wants for you? What do you think God wants for this nation? Peace, love, joy, happiness, contentment. How many of you have got it? Or are you still hunting? Not a pseudo-peace. Not a pseudo-happiness. Not sort of healed. Humble yourself. Get in there with God. Quit playing. Get serious. Submit. And God will lift you up. He'll bind your broken parts. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and repent of their sins, I will hear their prayers, and I will heal their land. It's our watch. It's on us right now. And I don't know about you, but I believe God's got a plan. But we have to listen to Him to find out what it is. Not in a person, not in a man or a woman, not in a government entity, but listen first to God. What should we ask Jesus? Forgive me, Lord. Will you help me, Lord? I'm a sinner, Lord. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Pastor, you stirred me up this morning. I might be a little upset at you. Pray for me this week, and I'll pray for you. If you'll do that, slip your hand up and take it right back down. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Pastor, I'm struggling. I really want to have an assurance that Jesus is mine and I am His. Pray for me this week. If that is you, slip your hand up. There's no more important question than this old preacher will ever ask you than that very question. Are you sure your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life? Church, you need to understand that Jesus could come back at any time. We don't know. We profess it. I believe in God the Father Almighty, from thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. We still believe He's coming back. Are you ready? Are you ready? Pastor, I'm not. I don't think so. Pray for me that I can get there. Slip your hand up. Amen. Amen. Well, you need to know. Accept Him and what He's done. And look forward to what He will do. Pastor, I want to pray for you. I want to pray for our nation and our representatives and our government. If that be you, pray this morning. If you'll commit to that, slip your hand up. Let us pray. Almighty God, move within our heart in the name of Jesus. Move in a way that we feel your power, we feel your presence, and we feel your Spirit move over us. Move in us and move through us. Father, where we have fallen short, forgive us. Father, where we have missed the mark, put us back on target. Father, where we have strayed from the path, put us back on that narrow path. Father, let us and let it begin with us as we submit our hearts, as we submit our lives to be a servant, to serve you, to serve one another, to love you and to seek you first. Not our will, not our agenda, not what we want, but you. Hear our prayers this morning. Gracious and loving God, in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, may we go in grace, peace, and mercy, and truly may we know and go knowing that He lives. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.
Live at Rock Springs First Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming. Our pastor is Reverend Jimmy Krishan. Please visit our website at www.rockspringsumc.org or on our Facebook page. Our email address is rockspringsumc@sweetwaterhsa.com. Our mailing address is 1515 Edgar Street, Rock Springs, Wyoming, 82901. Our phone number is 307-362-5334. You are invited to join us Sundays on Zoom, YouTube, or in face-to-face worship as we observe all social distancing and safe practices.